Chapter 14.
Wait,
Todd asked as we pulled up into the garage of our mansion.
You're telling me that the guy we fought was only half of Urinal?
If even that, Raphael sighed. That could have been the Archangel at 1/8 of his power for all we know.
Well, whatever fraction it was, I warned, it was nearly too much for us to take alone. We're going to have to step it up a notch if we want to defeat the real Uriel. That's why we're coming back here for now, so we can reload, rest, and plan our next move. The seven of us got out of the jeep and headed toward the door.
I'd imagine that the real Uriel couldn't have gone far.
Libidine pondered aloud.
If his mission is to destroy us all, then he'd have to be somewhere within our area. Or he'll just keep sending assassins to take us out.
Cupy interjected.
Bring him on,
Gula said with a fist pump.
We make a pretty badass team. Honestly, I feel 4 times more powerful with Jacob than I did under Earl's rule. We are a great team. That's the understatement of the millennium.
Sia chuckled.
Earl wasn't exactly a great leader,
Cupiditas added.
It's hard to be a good team when your so-called leader is so far up his own arse he can taste what he ate for lunch. That's probably why we were always on the losing side of those large battles.
Gula shrugged.
The Demon Kings may have been good strategizers, but they were way too ego-driven to actually function as one unit in battle. I guess all they needed was Jacob.
Libby giggled.
He's done things that nobody else in the history of the universe has done. I'm very sure he could have won all those battles single-handedly.
See?
Todd spoke up from behind us.
It's jokes like that that make Urinal see Jakey as a threat.
Agreed, Raph added. Jacob is one of the most powerful warriors I've ever had the pleasure to fight alongside with. Unfortunately, my former brother sees him as a dangerous usurper.
Usurper? I laughed and unlocked the door of our home. Usurper of what? I seriously just want to rescue the rest of the Circle of Sin, kill Azazel, and then retire to a life of luxury here in my mansion with my beautiful women.
I wish Uriel would see it that way, the Archangel said as he shook his head. He obviously thinks this is all the first step in some sort of master plan to take over the universe for yourself.
Well, he's fucking crazy if he thinks that way. I couldn't help but laugh.
I could have told you that, bro,
Todd added.
I was getting some serious Nazi vibes from his little speech on the hill.
You get Nazi vibes from everything, Todd, I reminded the imp. Remember when you were summoned for jury duty? The imp stopped in his tracks, put one hand on his hip, and put his finger in the air.
Forcing us away from our homes to sit in a cold, dark room with a bunch of strangers to decide the fate of somebody that we don't even know?
He argued.
And it's for a whole week? And they only serve you cold meat sandwiches? I don't know what else you call it, bro.
A pillar of democracy?
Raph suggested.
A trial by your peers.
Todd just shook his head and stared at the Archangel with bulging eyes.
Oh, no,
he gasped.
They got you, too?
Well, well, look who's back.
Ira's voice called out happily. The dark-haired succubus was still in formal attire from one of her campaign events. Her black hair dangled past the diamond-studded earring she wore on her lobes, and there was a beautiful golden chain on her neck that ran all the way down to her cleavage. Ira had on a tight one-piece purple dress that was bespeckled with sequins and hugged her tight body like a glove. On top of that, the succubus wore a blazer that was as black as her smooth hair. Ira walked over to us carefully as she tried not to trip over her own high heels.
Have you heard the news?
She asked joyfully.
The latest polls are out and I'm up by nearly 30 points.
Yeah,
Cupy explained.
That's what generally happens when you expose somebody as being a sex trafficker.
You'd be surprised, my bodacious blonde,
Todd interrupted.
Politicians in this country get away with all sorts of shit like that. That's why it's so important that we—
Finally.
Triss's voice boomed as she stepped through the threshold of the entryway.
I've been waiting for you guys to get back full forever. It's so boring when you're the only one home. But Sister Ira is here.
Libidine pointed out to the brunette succubus. Triss looked over at Ira and frowned.
I totally didn't see you there, sis.
The succubus shrugged.
I totally would have invited you to watch TV or play a game with me if I had.
Ira extended a slender finger and tapped Triss's nose like she was a cute puppy.
And I would have crushed you in any game we did play.
She reassured the sister of Sloth.
I've been dying for some sort of release after a long day of political crap. I may be a sadomasochist, but the world of politics is rougher than even I could have imagined.
Exactly what I've been trying to tell you!
Todd started up again.
So did you find Ariel or Euthuriel or whatever his name is?
Triss interrupted the imp.
Oh, we found him all right.
I sighed and then motioned for everyone to follow me.
Come with me. You're going to want to sit down for this one.
My friends followed me into the living area of the mansion and then sat down on the various couches, chairs, and benches. Once everyone was comfortable, I began to explain what we had seen up at the hill in the park. How Uriel had called for our extermination and how he had claimed that he had partnered with Beelzebub and planned to create a new order in heaven and hell. As I spoke, Ira and Triss were both dumbfounded.
Of all the archangels to fall, the last I would have suspected would be Uriel.
Ira said with a click of her tongue.
Hey!
Raphael protested.
No offense, Raphael.
Sia interjected.
It's just that Uriel was the golden boy of the divine for so long, it's hard to believe he would turn to the side of the demonic. But that's the thing.
Cupie explained.
He's not on the side of the demonic. Uriel and Beelzebub have teamed up with the Deva to create their own army. They're on nobody's side but their own.
Puh, some army.
Todd scoffed.
I've been to Black Sabbath cover band concerts with more people than the guys we fought.
That wasn't the whole army, Raphael corrected.
That was only a small fraction of Uriel and Beelzebub's forces. Oh, well,
Todd said with a wave of his hand.
Those guys were bitches anyway. Did you see how they exploded when I hit them with those impact grenades? Oh, it took me back to those days where my dad used to take me fishing.
Fishing and... with grenades?
Libidine asked curiously.
I see you're not too familiar with Missouri, dudette.
Todd chuckled.
If you didn't know how to throw a hand grenade by the time you were 5, well, your father would disown you.
I think that was just your dad, Todd, I said cautiously.
Sure thing, bro.
The imp waved his hand dismissively.
And next you're going to tell me that it wasn't a rite of passage to get locked in an underground bunker for a month with nothing but cans of beans and an FM radio.
We all stared at Todd silently, and his face contorted into a frown.
Huh.
The imp mused as he rubbed his chin and pondered.
You know, that would actually explain a lot.
Whatever you intend to do, Jacob.
Superbia finally spoke up.
Know that the Circle of Sin will be there to help. All of us. All of us?
Triss asked disappointedly.
All of us.
Sia shot the Sister of Sloth a glare, and Triss was instantly quiet.
Unfortunately, I don't even know where to start,
I said as I rubbed the back of my head. Uriel could be anywhere, but more importantly, he knows where we live and could strike at any time.
Which just means we have to strike him first,
Gula explained as she slapped her fist into her palm.
I'm totally into the whole preemptive strike shit.
Excellent,
Raphael exclaimed as he stood up.
We must start to strategize immediately. Who's with me?
All of my friends let out a resounding yeah, and then we all stood up and headed toward the dining room. I was at the back of the group, and the instant I started to move, I was halted by Cupie's slender arm against my chest.
Oh, no you don't.
The blonde giggled.
You just saved our asses against an archangel. You deserve to get some rest. Yes, Jacob.
Sia cooed into my ear.
Let the rest of them do the heavy lifting. Raphael is more than capable of leading the strategy session, and Gula can cook us one of her delicious meals. You should just come upstairs and get some shut-eye.
Shut-eye? I asked and raised my eyebrow coyly. I don't think there's going to be much sleeping going on up there. Libidine walked over and began to rub her hand against my chest.
If it's anything like normal, my eyes are going to be shut quite often. Or, at least, they're going to be in the back of my head. Come, Jacob.
Superbia purred. The madam grabbed my hand and led me out toward the staircase, with Libidine and Cupiditas right behind. We made our way up the beautiful marble, across the soft carpet of the hallway, and then we nearly kicked open the door of my bedroom as we entered. The second we were through the threshold of the bedroom door, Cupy pressed her tender lips against mine. As our tongues danced in each other's mouths, I felt a gentle tug at my shirt, as Libby and Sia nearly tore it off my chest. As the two succubi ran their hands gently up my naked back, I could feel the erection in my pants growing bigger and bigger.
Oh, how I missed this.
Superbia cooed, and then her slender hand reached around and massaged my dick through my pants. I let out a small groan to voice my pleasure as the madam gently tugged at my cock.
It's my one regret, you know.
Sia continued.
Not being able to come with you on all these fantastic adventures the girls tell me about.
Well, you know what they say. I pulled my lips away from Cupy and teased the madam. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Sia spun me around and looked me up and down with her dark purple eyes.
I can't argue with that,
she admitted.
Nowadays when we get together, it's like fireworks are going off in my soul. I think that's just every day with Jacob Superbia.
Libidine giggled. The dark-haired succubus reached down to her midriff and lifted up her shirt. Libby's massive breasts lifted up with the fabric, and then they each plopped down perkily as it passed over her erect nipples. The succubus tossed her shirt off to the side, winked, and then gave me a little bounce.
I think he enjoys that, Libidine.
Sia gasped as she felt my erection grow larger in her hand.
I don't hate it either.
Cupy's lips began to kiss delicately against my back, and then I felt the blonde succubus's hands reach down and give my ass a firm squeeze.
I think your muscles are actually getting more sculpted,
she whispered in my ear.
I didn't even think that was possible.
Meanwhile, Sia took a step back from my body and playfully pulled off her own top. The madam's breasts were tiny and perky against her petite body, and her red nipples currently looked like they could cut diamonds. Her hands fumbled at the skirt on her hip, but Libidine stopped her.
No, no.
Libby teased as she wagged her finger in front of Sia's face.
Leave them on. They look really good on you, sister, and I think Jacob would agree.
Both of the topless women looked over at me hungrily, and I could do little more than gulp and nod.
That doesn't mean you get to leave yours on.
Sia cooed. The madam fell down to her knees, grabbed Libby's waistband, and tenderly pulled the succubus's pants down. Sia bit her lip as Libidine's delicate flower was exposed, and then she wrestled the pants completely off. The second Libidine was naked, Sia hopped up to her feet, put her slender hand between Libby's breasts, and pushed her back onto the bed. Then the redhead fell to her knees, wrapped her arms around Libby's thighs, and buried her face in her pussy. Libby's entire chest turned red as her surprised gasping turned into moans of pleasure.
Here, let me help you with that,
Cupy said as her hands began to wander down to my waist. The blonde succubus pulled down my pants, and my thick erection jumped to attention as it was exposed to the cool air of the bedroom. Without missing a beat, Cupy reached down, wrapped her warm fingers around the base of my cock, and started to pleasure me with a fluid pumping motion. At the same time, she went back to kissing the back of my neck and back. Between the firm grip of the fit succubus and the sight of Sia going to town on Libby, I could feel my cock growing harder and harder by the second. Sia continued to lick between Libidine's legs, and Libby was loving every second of it. The madam kept one hand on Libidine's curvy waist, and the other was outstretched toward her chest as she ran the succubus's nipples between her fingers tenderly. Libidine moaned as her eyes rolled back in her head, and she ran her fingers through Sia's crimson locks, stopping every now and again to force her sister down harder.
It's a wonderful sight, isn't it?
Cupy purred.
But those two shouldn't get to have all the fun.
The fit blonde released my cock from her grip and then walked over to my side. She put her arm around my shoulder, and the two of us began to walk toward Sia and Libby, who were still completely into each other's passion.
Once we got close enough, Cupie reached down and grabbed the bottom of Sia's skirt. She folded the fabric up so that it was resting on Superbia's back, and the madam's warm, inviting pussy lips were revealed in all of their glory. Before I could even react, Cupie grabbed my cock, gently pulled me forward, and then guided me into Sia. The redhead let out a shocked gasp as I entered inside her all the way, and then she briefly looked up from Libidine to give me a passionate stare.
"You just keep paying attention to Libby, sister,"
Cupie said flirtatiously.
"I've got things under control back here."
Sia's eyes narrowed.
"You shouldn't talk back to your madam, you know,"
she joked, and then she turned back to pleasuring the sister of lust. Superbia was already ridiculously wet, so it took next to no effort for me to glide in and out of her. I started off slowly, easing myself into her delicately with each thrust, and Sia's muffled moans told me she enjoyed it. Cupie gave me a wink and then stood up, strutted over to where Libby was laying, and sat down. The fit blonde ripped off her own clothes piece by piece, and then leaned down and began to kiss Libby passionately. Watching Libby and Cupie's tongues intermingle while they caressed each other's breasts made my cock throb, and I could feel a dull, tingling sensation in my groin. I wrapped my hands around Sia's waist and began to go harder. The redhead's hair bounced with each thrust, and she now was letting out a muffled groan every second or so. Her lips began to contract around me, and I knew that she was reaching the end of the line. I reached down with my right hand and began to rub her clit as I pounded her, and Sia responded by pulling herself up and arching her back.
"Oh my,"
she gasped.
"Don't stop. Don't."
Sia's pussy quivered as she orgasmed, and that was the final straw. At the same time, I released my own orgasm and filled her full of my sperm. I pulled my still throbbing erection out of the redhead and nearly stumbled over. Of course, I wasn't sure my legs were tired from the battle with Uriel or the ridiculous orgasm I just had.
"Oh, Jacob looks tired,"
Libidine cooed from the bed.
"Let him lie down, sisters."
Cupie rolled over and patted where the sheets where she had just been laying were. She didn't have to tell me twice. I wobbled over and plopped down into the bed. The second I did so, Cupie's naked body appeared down by my cock. She looked up at me hungrily as she took my renewed erection in her hand and began to stroke. Then she pursed her lips together, moved over toward the head of my dick, and shoved it into her throat. I moaned intensely as her warm mouth slid all the way down the shaft of my dick. One of the succubus's hands reached over and slid behind the small of my back, and the other rubbed gently over my balls in a circular motion. Cupie pushed against the small of my back and forced my dick even further into her mouth. She let out a gurgled sound of satisfaction as she pulled up and stared deeply into my eyes. The fit blonde then alternated back and forth between deep-throating my cock and running her legendary tongue around the shaft as if it were an ice cream cone. Meanwhile, Sia had gone back to pleasuring Libidine. Beside me, Libby was making tiny squeaks of satisfaction as her madam's face burrowed into her vagina. Once I was back to full mast, Cupie decided that it was time to go in for herself. She pulled her lips off my dick, crawled up so that our pelvises were even, and then slowly slid herself down onto me. Her eyes fluttered underneath her eyelids once she was all the way down, and she bit her lip to keep herself from screaming. Cupie's fit body moved up and down as she ground against my cock, and her small, perky breasts bounced against her chest vigorously. Libidine's moans grew louder and louder in my ears, and the sound made me want to finish her off myself. Small groans were now slipping out behind Cupie's pursed lips, and the succubus slowed her motions. She rose up and down on my dick, taking each moment to savor it entering and exiting her pussy. After the third time of doing this, the blonde's body began to tense. Cupie started to move a little faster, and then she froze. She screamed as she orgasmed on top of me. The succubus fell down onto my chest and kissed me delicately. She then pulled back and looked up at me innocently with her bright purple eyes.
Want to see if Sia needs any help?
She giggled and pointed down to the back of Superbia's head. What do you think, Lib? I asked the succubus, who was now nearly incoherent as she gasped and groaned.
Yes.
She got out between gasps, and then she tapped Sia on the head. The madam pulled back and looked up at the three of us. She instantly understood what we were getting at, and she stood up and walked over to Libby's left. I got up onto my knees, crawled over to the dark-haired succubus, and gently slid my cock inside of her. Libidine wrapped her legs around my back and pulled me in as deep as I could go. She let out another gasp of pleasure as I started to pound in and out of her wet pussy. Cupie leaned over and delicately sucked on Libby's pert nipples, while Sia reached down with her left hand and rubbed at the succubus's clit. Thanks to the three of us, Libidine was on cloud nine. It didn't take Libby long to reach the finish line. Her breasts shook with each thrust of my hips, and her face was getting redder and redder by the minute as she tried to keep from coming. Finally, her eyes rolled back in her head, and she let out the loudest, longest moan I'd ever heard in my life. Her lips trembled against my dick, and even though I had just climaxed inside of Superbia, I was able to reach another, and my balls spasmed as the last of my cum filled Libby's accepting body. I pulled myself out of the dripping succubus, crawled up to the pillow beside her, and collapsed. Holy shit, I panted. That was just what I needed after today. Cupie nuzzled up against my right side.
You're welcome,
she said lovingly. I wrapped my arm around the blonde succubus, and then I outstretched my left arm so that Libby and Sia could snuggle up closer. Both of the succubi giggled as they crammed together, and the four of us formed a cozy pile of warm bodies on our California king.
Talk about a release!
Sia sighed.
Remind me to stay away longer next time. Maybe that will make our lovemaking even more intense.
Maybe, I joked back. But I don't know how much better it can get than this.
Me either.
Libidine purred as she nuzzled up against my chest. The four of us lay together, snug and comfy. The next thing I knew, my eyes fluttered shut, and I was fast asleep.